God. You may be seated. My name is Brett Sweet. I'm one of the pastors here. If you are new, we're in a series through the book of Hebrews, which was written to a group of Christians who aren't sure they want to continue in Christianity. And we're in this long discussion of what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. So we will look at that a little bit more today. And let me pray before we get started. Ask God to help us again. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says not to boast in strength or wisdom or wealth or power, but to boast in the fact that we know you. Lord, we do know you a little bit. We pray that you would reveal Jesus to us today, that we would know you better, that we would come away boasting in Jesus Christ, and that I would be very forgettable today, and that your word would be very lasting and powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a saying that close only counts in darts, horseshoes, and hand grenades. The only time it's good to be close. Imagine for a second that there is a big check that is supposed to be deposited in your account, account number 5,000, but they deposited it into the one close to you, number 4,999. It was close. Imagine that the doctor said that your child was close to being alive, that the sandbags were close to stopping the flood, that you're going to take your children close to Disney World, to the parking lot even. How happy would they be? What's needed is to go beyond close, to go all the way. And what's needed to go from being close to fully into the place we're supposed to go is a change. A change needs to occur. The Hebrews that are reading this letter to them and to us today were brought up with the Old Testament. And God had declared in the Old Testament that people from the tribe of Levi were the only ones who could be high priests, could be priests who could lead people, hopefully, maybe, into God's presence. Maybe. But here's the thing. All those priests could do was get you close. Could get you close. I mean, symbolically, once a year, on one day, the high priest could symbolically carry people into the Holy of Holies. But really, if you were a good Jew, you still had to stay in the outer part of the temple. That was as close as you could get. If you were a Gentile, like most of us, the closest you could get was the porch of the temple. You're standing outside. Close doesn't cut it. To make it to the best possible place where a holy God is, where there's love, and there's peace, and there's faithfulness found in him, there needs to be a change. A change needs to occur. Being outside, being close isn't good enough. So the author of Hebrews is actually telling us to rejoice today. It's time for us to rejoice because a change has been made for the best. Rejoice. A change has been made for the best. That's what we're after today. A change has been made for you by God himself. God has made a change. If you're like me, you want to know what's the point. Well, the point is that you get a reward. And the reward is God himself. Some of us on this Father's Day are missing people. We wish we could be with some people, but we can't. We would be happier if we were. Well, God is an all-satisfying person. When we're with him, we have everything we need. And he made a change so that we could be in his presence. Some of us, though, don't think change is possible. You've been raised in a culture that teaches naturalism, that we're all just viruses on a little speck of dust and water that's going to burn up with the sun, And this is the way things have always been. They've been this way for billions of years. They will be this way for billions of years in the future. This text says that's not true. That God actually intervenes in this world, that he actually changes things. And God is active in this world, and he is making changes, and he's doing it for the best. He's changed the priesthood so that we can be with the best, with God himself. So what I want us to look at is what these changes are. And I've got four R's. The preacher's tool of alliteration is active and well this morning. So we're going to, as we rejoice, we're going to look at four things. We're going to look at the reason for the change, the requirements for the change, the reality of the change, and the result of the change. Reason, requirements, reality, and result. First, the reason for the change. The reason for the change is found right there in verse 11. The high priests, the Levites, in the line of Aaron, could not bring perfection. They could not bring perfection. That's why there's a reason for change. Read verse 11 with me. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, which we talked about last week, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? The reason we need a change for the best is because the old covenant high priests couldn't bring perfection. They couldn't bring perfection. We need to attain perfection to enter God's presence. Attain perfection. Now, what does the perfection mean here? Most scholars think, and I think they're probably right, perfection means a completeness, a bringing the desired end, going all the way to the goal, all the way. Not just 99% of the way, not just 90%, not just close, but all the way. Others think it means actual, we need to be perfect, we need to have perfect lives. Well, the reality is that those two things are so tied together that it doesn't really make a difference. Could the Levitical priests bring perfection? Could they make us perfect? And the answer is no, they can't. So that's the reason for the change. They couldn't bring perfection. So the question is, who's your high priest? Are you trying to be your own high priest? Do you try to just clean up your life a little bit? Do a little bit more religious stuff? Don't look at pornography. You know that's bad. Volunteer a little bit more with the homeless. Say a couple extra prayers. Know the Bible answers. Are you trying to attain perfection on your own? You can't, and you know it. The Levitical priests were probably much holier people than us, and they could not bring perfection. But here's the good news. Your sacrifices, your works, they're not good enough to attain perfection, but somebody else's are. Jesus's are. A change has been made for the best so that you can attain perfection. Jesus attained perfection for you. He lived a sinless life for you. And that's going to bring you fully into God's presence, where there's fullness of communion, eternal joy, everything you could want. All you need to do is repent of your sins, but you also need to repent of your good deeds. If you're trusting in your good deeds, where you go to school, who you know, what your family history is, those can keep you out too. You need a high priest. So the reason for the change to these Old Testament priests is that they could not bring perfection. That's the reason for the change. Now let's look at the requirements for the change. The requirements for the change. One required change for the best is that there must be a change in the law. One of the requirements is there needs to be a change in the law. Look at verses 12 through 14 with me. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. The priesthood and the law were so tied together in the Old Testament that if you got rid of one, the other had to crumble with it. Because how could the Levites, how could the high priests claim to be high priests? Well, the law told them that they were to be high priests. And the law was dependent on the high priests fulfilling it, doing what the law required. So if one of them fell apart, so did the other. And the law said that all high priests had to descend from Aaron, from the tribe of Levi. But here we're saying, no, there's a change in the law. That law about needing priests to come from the tribe of Levi has been changed. So there's been a change in the law. So one requirement for change for the best is that there be a change in the law. Another requirement is that there needs to be a change in power. A change in power. Read verses 15 through 16 with me. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. This is going to be talked about a lot next week, but we're touching on it here. Death interrupts all the Levite priests, interrupts all their services. Death comes along, they're done. That's why one reason why perfection couldn't be attained through them. They die. Jesus didn't meet the requirements of the law for being a priest by being born in the right tribe. He met the requirements by being so powerful that death could not hold him. He's so powerful that if he can meet and exceed the power of death, he has the power to be a priest. He has an indestructible life. That's the sort of power that qualifies you to be not just a king of the tribe of Judah, which Jesus was, but to be a priest as well. And that life forever. Remember last week, Melchizedek, there's no record of his death in the Old Testament. So it's almost like he went on being a priest forever. Well, that's what Jesus did. That's how he can be a priest in the same manner. He has an indestructible life. He has the power to defeat death and reign forever and serve as a high priest forever. And so if you think about it, only Jesus has that sort of power. Only he has risen from the grave. Only he has self-existence. When it wasn't my favorite sport to watch growing up, but I watched a lot of NASCAR growing up. And it's said that many people only watch NASCAR for the crashes. In fact, I remember being a kid watching the Daytona 500, and there was always big crashes at Daytona and Talladega. They called them restrictor plate races, where cars were going as fast as they possibly could. And I remember watching the race where Dale Earnhardt was killed in the final turn of the Daytona 500. And what was interesting after his black Chevy had crashed into the wall was that earlier in the race, a much, much worse looking crash had occurred with cars cartwheeling and being airborne and being torn to shreds, but nobody was hurt. So he was watching crashes like that led in 1961 to a guy named George Hurst watching car crashes in stock car races. What he realized is there'd be a car crash and it would take sometimes hours to get people out of the cars. And what did they use? They tried to use pry bars, crowbars. They tried to use power saws, but here's the problem with those saws is that they create sparks. And they can cause explosions or fires. Furthermore, they're so loud that when you have somebody pretty stressed because they're injured, maybe bleeding or dying, and then you start adding this really loud racket, it's not probably calming their heart rate. Furthermore, it took so much time that they really didn't have the power to open up a wide gap for escape. So this guy, George Hurst, developed what became known as the Jaws of Life. Because they gave it that name because his machines could hydraulically basically separate metal in just minutes and snatch people from the jaws of death, they said. And I've watched a few times as I've watched vehicles that look like there's no way they're going to get people out of there, and firefighters show up, and in really a minute and a half, all of a sudden people are out of there. For these readers, really, and for us today, Jesus is the jaws of life for us. He's the one who snatches us out of the jaws of death. He's the only one who has the power to do that for you. Not your good deeds, not your record in parenting or as a child. You need more power. You need more power. Do you realize that Jesus is all powerful? He's eternally God. He's all powerful. Death has basically been batting 1,000. It's killed everybody. Who's your hero? He or she is either dead or dying, unless they're Jesus. Jesus defeated death. Any other high priest will be defeated. You need this high priest. You need Jesus. We all do today. This opens up for me a little chance to take a little dig, I don't always like to do this, at Catholicism. Some Catholics believe that Hebrews argues for the existence of a priesthood, a human priesthood. Hebrews argues for the exact opposite. It argues that there is one high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. So with all the troubles that the Catholic Church has with sex abuse scandals, which Protestants are not immune to, that is not their biggest problem. Their biggest problem is that they tend to trust in human high priests or saints to deliver them to a savior, which they cannot do. That does not mean that all Roman Catholics are going to hell, but it means that there's a significant problem in their theology. There's my dig. We needed a change. Otherwise, we'd be just like them. We'd be just like the old covenant believers. We think we need a high priest who's human that could deliver us, but we need someone more powerful. We need Jesus, the eternal God. You've tried it, haven't you? You need power. You've tried the New Year's resolutions. You've tried the fad diets. You've tried making promises to other people and to God himself at times that don't last more than a couple hours. You don't have enough power. But did you know that when you believe, God sends the all-powerful Holy Spirit to you? He does that. He empowers you so you can obey. So when you're angry at your family, do you realize that an all-powerful Holy Spirit is with you if you're a Christian to give you patience if you'll ask for it, if you'll seek it? When you're anxious and you don't know if you're going to make it through today or tomorrow or this week or this month or this year, you don't know if you're going to survive all this pressure. God, the Holy Spirit, is all-powerful. He's been sent by the all-powerful high priest to help you trust in God in this moment right now. When you're at work, you feel like a failure. All the people are saying, this screw-up is your fault. An all-powerful Holy Spirit is at work trying to point you to an all-powerful high priest who has performed perfectly for you. So you'll be accepted. It doesn't matter what those other people say. Even if you get fired, God the Father will accept you on the grounds of Jesus, your powerful high priest. That's a good change that has happened for you and me. So a change has been made, and it's been made not just for the better, but for the best. We've looked at the reason for the change. We've looked at the requirements for the change. Now let's look at the reality of the change, the reality of the change. Look at verse 17. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This has been mentioned before, but God's authoritative, eternal, unchanging word tells us that the status of Jesus Christ, what his position is. The one who loves you, the one who came and died for your sins. What's his status? He is the high priest. God the Father has said that reality has shifted from Levite high priests to this man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And he says, you are the high priest. It's not a preference. It's not like we can say, well, Jesus is our high priest the way that other people say therapy works for them, or meditation works for them, or time spent in nature works for them. Reality has shifted. God has intervened in reality and said, this is where meaning is found. This is how you don't just get close, but you come all the way to me. Through Jesus, our high priest. Some of us live as if we're inhabiting virtual reality. Like we can just, reality is what we make of it, put on our glasses. But then sooner or later, we bump into the fact that we're not in control of everything. If reality is exactly what we would make of it, why are we unhappy? Why isn't everything free? Why do people get sick and die? Reality intervenes, and reality has intervened here. And that reality has shifted to Jesus Christ. He is the high priest. It's a change in reality, and it's a real change. It's actually happened. So we've looked at the reason for the change is because those high priests couldn't attain perfection. We looked at the requirements of the change, which is a change in the law and a change in power. And now we've just seen that it's been a real change. There's been a reality shift. So now let's turn lastly to the results of the change. The results, what happened? So there's a change. What's the point? Why did God do it? One result of the change is that the law has been set aside. The law has been set aside. That's the first change. So look with me, that's the first result. At verse 18, in the very beginning of verse 19, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside. Listen to this language. Because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. The law could make nothing perfect. When I was a kid, I used to get in my Bible, and I'd highlight all the commands. Like, these are things I have to do. If I do these things, it'll be great. Life will go well for me. But the law can make nothing perfect. Me trying to perform could make nothing perfect. And that's good news for us today. See, these Hebrews, these Levites, in a sense, they thought if they kept the law, really, maybe people will be purified, but the multitude of sacrifices, all these multiple trips, new high priests, people realized, you know, this is helpful. We are obeying God, but it's not making things perfect. But this law keeps going on. Well, what this text tells us is that the problem is because it's always in our hearts. There's always sin in our hearts. It's not necessarily a problem with the law, but because of the sin in our hearts, it's made the law functionally useless. It's just weak. We need a change. So here's the good news. The law has been set aside. You are free if you're a Christian. You are free. You are free. You're free from needing to perform. The law can convict us of sin, can give us guidance on what morality is, and it can function as a guide for righteous living. It can do those things. But as far as depending on it to achieve perfection, you're free. You're free because Jesus has attained perfection for you. That is a great result of this change. That's a great result, a freeing result. So one result of the change is the law has been set aside, and a second result is that there's a better hope. You have a better hope, and that is that we can draw near to God. You have a better hope, and we can draw near to God. Let's read verse 19 together, really the end of it. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. In Hebrews, that word hope has this idea of certainty. And it's objective. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. So our hope is Jesus Christ. That's usually how hope is meant. It's not saying like, I'm hopeful this works out. It's more, we have a hope. And his name is Jesus. And he's our high priest. And he's in God's presence. And he's there right now. And where he is, we're going to follow. That's the hope he is. And it's not that we feel hopeful. It's that we have a person. And here's a great result. This is the great result of this change for the best. We get to draw near to God. We get to go all the way. Not just close. We don't just get close. We can get all the way to where God is. This is the change we need. This is the change the Hebrews needed to see. If they're going to go back to Judaism, they're going back to being kind of close to God. But if they stay with Jesus, they continue with Jesus. If you stay with Jesus, if you continue with Jesus, you go all the way. Go all the way. That's a reason for rejoicing today. That's a good, good thing. Jesus doesn't just get us to the parking lot. He gets us all the way in. When I was in the mortgage business, I helped a number of people buy homes. What was really interesting is there's this process, people buying homes. Some of you are realtors. You're aware of this. And you get people dreaming about their home. You get the accepted offer, and then they're going through the loan process, and there's home inspections, and there's appraisals. And so there's times where these buyers can go, and they can go park in the driveway. They can go even stand on the porch. They can drive by. But not until the loan closes, the transaction closes, and there's a record of the sale at the county courthouse moving from one previous owner to the new owner, do they get the keys? Can they really go into the house? Well, Jesus, a person, the eternal God-man, is the key to God's presence. He's the one who gets us into God's presence all the way. You can go inside now. He's the way there. That's the great change that has occurred. That's the reason worth rejoicing. You can go all the way into God's presence. You don't have to stand at a distance. You don't have to be scared. You trust in Jesus, you can go all the way. And here's why we can go all the way to God's presence. Because he came all the way to us. See, Jesus left heaven and didn't just hover around in the sky. He came all the way to earth. And he lived as a baby and as a child and as a man and as a worker, as a son, as a brother, as a teacher. He came all the way for us so we could go all the way to him. And then, after he dies on the cross for people who hate him, we're naturally enemies of God, he ascended to God the Father, and then, you know what he did? He sent the Holy Spirit to come all the way to us, to even living inside of us. That's why we can go all the way to God. We have a little foretaste of that now, and we will see it fully in the life to come. So when you hear people talking about Jesus, does your heart light up a little bit? Does it skip a beat every once in a while? Do you recognize that you're once far off but have now been brought near? You've been brought all the way into God's presence with High Priest Jesus? Do you sometimes, when you go to the grocery store, feel like God is going with you? Do you sometimes get overwhelmed thinking, I can't believe that I get to benefit from Jesus Christ? Do you sometimes sense that you're on a path that he's leading you all the way into God's presence? If you never feel this ever, if you've never felt this even for a minute or a second, but more importantly, if you're not feeling it at least reasonably occasionally as you're reading the Bible, as you're praying, as you're worshiping, as you're being encouraged in home group, The Bible says that there's a chance that you're not a Christian. So I'm not asking you to be too subjective. Look inside and see, well, do I feel that? But you should sometimes. And if you never feel that, we'd love to pray for you. So come up afterwards and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you, ask you some questions. You can ask us questions. We want you to experience that. Do you really, by means of application, do you meditate on the fact that there's been a change? The history before Jesus is different than history after Jesus' arrival. That a significant change has occurred. And that there's been a change in yourself when Jesus has come to you by faith. Do you remind yourself of that? That you are a sinner and Jesus has come and changed you. Do you preach the gospel to yourself? Do you remind yourself that you were once God's enemy, but now there's been a change in the priesthood and this high priest leads you all the way to God's presence? Do that. Husbands and fathers, help your family. Remind them of these truths. Moms, remind your children. Remind one another. Do you rejoice when things get hard, remembering that you're going to be all the way in God's presence soon? This life is really short. It's really short. Sometimes I'm not very full of rejoicing. Why? Because I'm not thinking about where I'm headed. I'm thinking about where I am now. But my high priest is leading me somewhere else. That we're going to be led fully into God's heaven, in God's heaven, in God's presence, where there's fullness of joy. That your best days are in the past, but they're in the future. Do you recognize that this is more sure than anything else? It's a certain hope. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has gone to heaven. You can draw near to God today in prayer and in worship. So we don't have to settle for the parking lot. We don't have to settle for the porch. We don't have to say, oh, it's close enough. It's close enough. We can come all the way to God because he's come all the way to us as our great high priest. He's leading us into God's presence forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus who has come to seek and to save the lost, to be a high priest for sinners.